Hey, it's Antoinette, and welcome to another episode of the Hormone Heartbeat podcast. In today's episode, I'll be interviewing Kathleen, who is going to be talking to us all about essential oils, particularly which ones to be used for hormone balancing, for pain associated with hormonal conditions, as well as in pregnancy. Kathleen is a clinical aromatherapist, and I can't wait to share our interview with all of you because she has such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the research surrounding the use of essential oils, as well as the safety and how to put together a formula that could work for you.
Welcome to the Hormone Heartbeat Podcast, a podcast about female empowerment through menstrual cycle health, the true heartbeat of your hormone status. With each episode, we'll explore the foundations of hormone health with science, soulful and heartfelt conversations, a dash of sass and feminine pizzazz. Our dream is to arm you with exactly what you need to be an unstoppable female force, ready to achieve all that your heart desires and embrace your inner goddess. And here's your host, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, fertility awareness educator, hormone enthusiast, and lover of pretty things, Antoinette Falco.
Welcome, Kathleen. It's so great to have you on today's episode. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a huge opportunity for me, and I'm so honored to be here with you today.
Yeah, so I really wanted to have you on an episode because I get asked so many questions about essential oils and, you know, what they can be used for, specifically for hormonal conditions or pain. And I'm always like, this isn't my area of expertise. So having you on today is going to give us such information and clarity about, you know, some of the myths about essential oils and maybe even more specific information on how women can use them to help with their hormonal concerns.
Yeah, amazing.
So let's start first with having you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, maybe your story and what led you to do the work that you do.
Sure. I have always had a love for helping people, and anything in the healthcare field always fascinated me. So I started a career in healthcare as a physiotherapist assistant in 1989. Primarily in the Toronto area. And I was able to work there for quite a few years in all various departments, inpatient, outpatient, stroke, medical, cardiac care. From there, around 2004, I transitioned to arthritis research with a research unit at Toronto Western. And we looked at how to improve in any way we could the adverse effects of arthritis and the pain with the individual, the family, just the population in general. And I stayed with that unit till around 2011, and when I had my third child and I decided to stay home. So from about 2011 till about 5 or 6 years ago, I still did research, but from home and not a full-time capacity. About 5 or 6 years ago, I ended up hosting an essential oil party with a friend of mine who is a rep for an MLM company, and just sitting, listening to her talk and explain everything that essential oils could potentially do for us, how they could help us, how we could potentially eliminate some of the over-the-counter medications that we take really intrigued me. So I ordered everything I needed to make my first blend, which was a headache roller. And I made it, used it, and then I was hooked. So I started researching essential oils and found some gaps from the information that was being offered from various companies to the hard research that I was finding online. And I just found there's pieces missing. And that's when I actually found the clinical aromatherapist course that I could take. And I decided to begin my training to become a clinical aromatherapist. So I started with Joy Essence Aromatherapy Center and completed my course. I am now a certified clinical aromatherapist, and I can use my knowledge now to safely apply essential oils and professionally help enhance the health and wellness journey of my clients. I use essential oils not only as standalone treatments, but as a complement to Western medicine as well.
Wow. Well, good for you for wanting to take that curiosity and passion a step further and really wanting to know the science behind it and be able to help people in a holistic way. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool when you say that you can use some essential oils to help reduce the need for certain medications. So I'm sure we'll get more into that in the interview, but that's a really fascinating point that I'm sure a lot of listeners will be listening very attentively to that one. Okay, so let's keep it very general and start with, how would you define aromatherapy? Like, what is it? What's it all about?
So aromatherapy has actually been around for thousands of years. It's a holistic treatment that helps promote health and well-being using natural plant extracts known as essential oils. It's a practice of blending various essential oils based on their therapeutic property to stimulate a desired response. And every essential oil has specific therapeutic properties. They actually have several therapeutic properties each. And these are all determined by their chemical compounds. Some of the therapeutic properties, for example, are antiseptic, anti-inflammatory, analgesic, antidepressant. And essential oils are pretty amazing. They actually have the power to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think so. I had another episode with Amanda Dumichel, and she was talking about essential oils, and it was like within seconds, the smell of an essential oil can reach all the cells in your body. I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it ranges anywhere actually from 20 minutes to 2 hours before the full effects of essential oils are completely filled like within your body. The smells when you're inhaling, it's a higher absorption rate. So you do feel it faster. And just, as you know, just scent brings on happy memories. So if you smell an uplifting smell, it's almost immediate that you feel the reaction. But internally, it's anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours.
Well, 20 minutes is still pretty fast.
It is, yeah.
An Advil takes like 30 minutes to kick in. So exactly. Like those numbers.
Yeah.
So going back to, you know, some of the therapeutic properties. So you'd mentioned, you know, anti-inflammatory, antiseptic, you know, which for our listeners, antiseptic being like it helps to kill bacteria. So those mechanisms, you know, it's pretty fascinating because they're similar to what, let's say, a drug would be. Can you explain a little bit about the different mechanisms and how, like one plant, for example, can be used for multiple different uses, I assume, given like different parts of it would have a different benefit? Or are you talking within the essential oils, there are different properties?
Yeah, within each essential oil, there are different properties. So for example, a lot of anti-inflammatory essential oils also offer analgesic properties. So something like lavender has a full spectrum of therapeutic properties. So that's a very common one you find in a lot of blends. Something like copaiba is also anti-inflammatory, analgesic. So they hold within themselves various therapeutic properties.
Fascinating. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. And what do women need to know before they start using an essential oil?
Yeah, so it's not just women that need to know this in general, but it's anybody that's looking to use or incorporate essential oils or aromatherapy into their health and wellness journey. A big one, and it's almost controversial, is ingestion. Part of my course, well, my course was over 400 hours. I had to facilitate 30 live case studies, research projects, and I had to write two exams. We are regulated by a Canadian Federation of Aromatherapists, and we are told it is beyond our scope of duty to recommend or suggest ingesting. No one should ingest oils, whether it's in drinks, directly into the mouth, or anything.
Encapsulated.
Even then, because then it goes down and it sits in your stomach. Okay. Your stomach digests everything, and the oils, essential oils, are not water soluble. They're fat soluble. So they have to be diluted in something in order to enter your body properly. It can even create a toxic overload on your liver if you're ingesting high amounts of them. It can create burns internally in the tissues that we just can't see. So Robert Tisserand, who is the guru of essential oils, a lot of people will quote his work, but they don't quote it in full. So Robert Tisserand says, yes, you can ingest oils if you're followed by a medical aromatherapist or a healthcare practitioner who's trained in medical aromatherapy, because we don't have the knowledge to know what goes on inside when oils are ingested.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really key point. And I'm glad that you brought it up because I do hear that a lot, the misinformation that's out there about the ingesting of oils. And I took botanical medicine in my training and it was always, you know, essential oils are potent. They are strong. And it makes sense because if the smell of an oil can have like such a profound therapeutic effect, you can only imagine ingesting something, how tenfold that effect would be. And to a point that could be toxic, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this brings me to my next safety kind of a heads up is applying oils neat, undiluted onto the skin can actually create a third degree burn. Wow. So if that's doing that to external tissues that are tougher than internal tissues, imagine what it can do internally.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, especially because the internal tissues are so much more sensitive.
Yes, exactly.
Any other safety points that people should know before?
I guess another caution would be there are medication interactions that you should be aware of. So for example, blood thinners, oils such as black pepper and wintergreen are contraindicated because they also thin the blood. Anyone on immune suppressant drugs, say from organ transplants, have to limit their immunostimulants, the oils, essential oils that are immunostimulants. Mm-hmm. Certain carrier oils have contraindications to different health ailments. So it's good to connect with a clinical aromatherapist to make sure that what you want to take doesn't interact with anything that you're already on.
I did have a question about essentials and supplements. Like, is there any concern about certain vitamins, maybe like other herbs?
It falls in line with just working with your healthcare team, letting everybody know what you want to take or what you're on and how to incorporate it properly. I have a book that I can look everything up in, but I was not actually taught anything about supplements.
Mm-hmm. I guess you go back to, you know, what's the mechanism of actions of all those supplements? And if it's too much, that's kind of how you can come up with, you know, a plan that maybe it's safe or not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So this podcast, we talk about hormones and hormone balancing. And my next question for you is, can essential oils help with hormone balancing?
100%. Yep, they can.
Tell us more.
Yeah. I think this is another area where it's so, so important to have a good multidisciplinary healthcare team, especially when it comes to hormone imbalances. As a clinical aromatherapist, I cannot diagnose anything. But if you come to me knowing what the issues are, then I can help manage it. So hormone imbalances, as you know, occur when there's too much or too little of a hormone in the bloodstream. And when your body is derailed by factors like chronic stress or exposure to toxic chemicals, poor diet and sleep deprivation, your body is likely to experience a breakdown somewhere. And that's usually in hormone production, creating the imbalance. Essential oils, as I mentioned before, strive to create balance within the body, making them perfect addition to hormone health. And they have the ability to go where needed. So once you know the hormones that are causing the imbalance, you can start to create the blends to manage the symptoms, which will help level everything out and help create the balance.
I just love this because, you know, essential oils are like a simple way that give you other benefits too, from like a, you know, calming your mind, calming your stress. And like you said, those all play such a pivotal role in hormone balancing. Can you give us like some examples? So off the top of my head, I'm just thinking about period pain. Lots of women struggle with period pain. What are your, you know, top essential oils for period pain?
So for period pain, there's quite a few that will actually work because a lot of the essential oils are anti-inflammatory and analgesic. Period pain, I would say lavender, clary sage, geranium, cypress, kajaput, and copaiba are all great for managing period pain and the inflammation and antispasmodic properties that you would look for.
And anti-analgesic, can you define that for us?
Helping with pain. So just clary sage, for example, has been shown to be more effective on menstrual pain than acetaminophen.
Wow, that's huge.
So that is huge. Frankincense has been shown to help balance out T3 and T4 thyroid hormones.
Wow. Yeah. So these are ones that you would, so for example, clary sage, like you can make yourself a blend or you can use the individual essential oil and then you would dilute it with something and then you'd apply it topically, like over your abdomen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can, for stuff like, period pain and menstrual, any menstrual issue, I recommend applying and then inhaling. So I would create a blend. And when you're using essential oils, they work better in synergies. So two or more oils, and then it just, it makes it even more efficient. So I would create a blend. You put it on wherever you're feeling the menstrual discomfort, whether it's your low back, your abdomen, headaches, wherever. You rub it on, and then you would cup your hands around your nose for 3 to 5 minutes and just breathe in deeply. And that will also enhance the pain relief.
Mm, great. And what are some of the carrier oils or diluting oils that you would use for some of these period pain essential oils?
There are so many. So coconut oil is the basic one that everybody goes to. It has a long shelf life. It doesn't go rancid. That and grapeseed oil. Safflower oil is great for anti-inflammatory purposes. Same with St. John's wort. Even primrose is good for pain and inflammation support too. So all of those are really good for menstrual relief.
That's great. That will definitely give some of our listeners a good starting place when it comes to period pain. Have you applied the same essential oils to, you know, conditions like endometriosis or maybe labor pain?
Yeah. I have a patient or a client actually that I made a blend for her endometriosis. And I have found, as most hormonal issues, you need a good 3 months of cycles in order to see the full benefits and full relief of essential oils. Within the first month of using it though, her cramps, her pain had decreased dramatically. And she was not into using essential oils, but her friend kind of pushed her into it. Labor pain, I have not had any personal experience with it, but I have read and heard that it does amazing things for calming anxiety, nervous tension, again, the analgesic and antispasmodic properties as well.
So when we're talking about endometriosis, so women with endometriosis have pain like around their periods, but then some women also have pain, you know, throughout the cycle, like around ovulation. Would you also say that like those same essential oils can also be used then?
Yeah. So there is a school of thought that using the same oil consistently day after day, you can create a sensitivity to it. So they do recommend that you switch it up.
Okay.
So for anyone that's experiencing any discomfort at various points in their menstrual cycle, I have created different blends. So I have an 11-year-old girl, actually she's 12 now, who had very irregular, very heavy menstrual cycles. So I made her a blend to use on the days when she was not menstruating. And then she switched to a different blend when she was menstruating. And within 3 to 4 months, her cycles had regulated. The period pain had gone. Her headaches were almost non-existent. She wasn't as bloated. So I would mix it up depending on where you are in the cycle and what you were experiencing symptom-wise.
Wow. I mean, I love this principle because I do the same thing in my practice with, you know, acupuncture or certain supplements or even foods where you'd like cycle them through the different phases of your menstrual cycle. So I love this idea, having a menstrual blend, then maybe like a follicular blend and like an ovulation blend and then, you know, a luteal phase blend.
Yes.
And then doing that for like a 3 month period and, you know, noticing the results that you said, like that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. And ultimately you don't want someone to have to be on it the whole time. Right. So, some things you will need it for like more consistent use, but if you can manage some symptoms during the cycle and eradicate them and help them not need anything, I find that amazing.
Can you give us kind of like one herb, like if you were to do a cycle syncing blend protocol, like one herb that you would kind of use at each stage?
To regulate a cycle, clary sage is huge. Also Roman chamomile.
So when would you use the clary sage? Would you use it like during menstruation?
No. So that would be anywhere from the day you stop your menstruating. So however long it is. And then you would start using, say, clary sage and Roman chamomile until you start again.
Okay.
Until you start. Yeah. And then for the menstrual relief, it's a lot of pain relief and antispasmodic properties. So copaiba, yarrow, sage is also really good for that.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have to keep it. It doesn't have to be complicated. Like you can keep it simple. You can try one at a time, see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, that offers a lot of insight. Essential oils and pregnancy. So what do women need to know there in terms of the safety and maybe which ones to stay away from?
Yeah. So it's definitely safe to use during pregnancy through all stages. You have to keep the dilution low at about 1%. So if you have a 10 mil roller bottle to use, that'd be one drop of oil. So the dilution is very low. If you are on any medication, especially on blood pressure medication, aromatherapy is not recommended. And you always have to keep, obviously, your doctor informed of what you are using. It can effectively help with anything that you're experiencing, digestive disorders such as constipation, diarrhea, heartburn. It can help with varicose veins, headaches, morning sickness, muscle aches and pains.
Yeah, morning sickness, probably a big one for a lot of women. What are the go-to essential oils there for morning sickness?
Peppermint is a huge one. So simply just peppermint. You can even mix it with some orange. There are oils that you have to stay away from though. So it's actually a pretty big list. So I can post that on my social media, but just having a personal inhaler of peppermint and sweet orange seems to help calm nausea. Wow. Another tip is when you're thinking of using essential oils during pregnancy, it's good to be there in person with your aromatherapist to pick oils, because what one woman can tolerate during pregnancy, another one might not. So it's really scent dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So peppermint may make someone nauseous, whereas it may help someone else's morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very subjective.
That's a really good point. Cause I find the same thing with, you know, ginger, for example, right? That's the go-to, mm-hmm. like ginger chews, ginger candies, whatever, ginger supplements even. But then you do get some women who say, actually that makes their morning sickness worse. So yeah, that's a very good point to highlight. And do the oils change? Like can one day, let's say a woman is okay with peppermint, but then the next day, like she's not? Like, do you see that a lot when you're working in pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just with any ailment, even menstrual. So I had one lady who was okay with clary sage, and then the next one, she couldn't tolerate the blend because she couldn't take the smell of the clary sage. So yeah, I see that often actually.
Would you say that's a sign from the body, or like messages from the body that like there's too much of that essential oil, or like how would you interpret that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's too much or just not what, right. I guess exactly what you're saying. It's not what your body needs at this time. So I think you have to listen to the cues for your body. Yeah.
So another area of essential oils that I really love, and you don't hear a ton about it, but that they have energetic properties.
Yes.
So can you share a little bit about how they can be used to balance key energy centers in the body?
Yeah. So the energy centers of the bodies are also known as our chakras. And we have seven main ones that start at the base of your spine up to the top of your head. And these chakras are all linked directly to our mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And energy flows in and out of our chakras. So if there is a blockage in one of our chakras, energy doesn't flow or becomes stagnant and creates an imbalance. And these chakras are influenced by everything we do, and they go in and out of alignment and balance naturally. And as I mentioned, essential oils strive for balance, and this includes within our chakras. So similar to Reiki energy, the energy of essential oils is intelligent and will flow to where it's needed in our body. You can apply, when using essential oils, you can apply them directly to your affected chakra, to the bottoms of your feet, the pulse points, or you can just simply inhale them. And they just know where to go to help balance the flow of your energy.
Okay. So there isn't like a specific essential oil for each of the specific chakras. It's more like your overall constitution.
No. So there are ones. So for example, if experiencing blockage in your root chakra, you'll need to feel more grounded. So you'll reach for grounding essential oils like patchouli or sandalwood, frankincense, or myrrh. And that will just help create balance and create more grounding.
And can you give us an example of like a chakra imbalance and how that might present for someone?
Okay, I'll go to the to your third eye chakra. That has a lot of hormonal ties. So it's pituitary gland, metabolism. It can affect your adrenals. So you could experience all the hormone imbalances related to those. And you would want to reach for bergamot, orange, vanilla, all that to uplift and open.
This is fantastic because this is good information for people. Okay. So tell me a bit about like what working with you looks like.
I just graduated in November in the midst of COVID. So what I had envisioned a treatment or an appointment would look like has not even been close to what I've been able to do.
Fair.
But I have a lot of people contact me just via messaging, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or email. And they ask, okay, I'm experiencing this. One lady just asked me for help with her sleep issues. So I have to take a full medical intake. So medical history, are you on any medications, any other health concerns that I need to know about? I ask exactly what they're experiencing because not everybody's sleep issues are the same. Some people can't fall asleep. Some people fall asleep and then wake up an hour later, can't go back to sleep. Some people are restless all night. So I take that all into consideration. And then I actually research all the different oils that could potentially go into a blend. And then I create the blend based on everybody's individual symptoms.
Makes sense, right? Not every condition is going to present the same. And you need to know exactly what you're treating before jumping in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this lady, she hadn't slept more than a couple of hours straight. And she used my product last week and she's now sleeping 8 hours straight.
Oh, fantastic results.
Yeah.
So when sleep is just so essential to everything, right?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And I have been finding that anybody with sleep issues typically has or experiences some sort of anxiety during the day. So I end up helping them with anxiety during the day and then providing a sleep blend for at night.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell us, Kathleen, where if someone listening wants to work with you, where are the best places for them to reach out?
I can be found on Facebook or Instagram under Root Synergies. You can email me or you can call or text me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kathleen, for all your wisdom that you shared with us today. And I'm sure you will get lots of messages because this is a topic a lot of people have questions about.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Hormone Heartbeat podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe so you can be notified of all future episodes. And don't forget to check out the show notes for all guest details and your free downloadable goodies. Your feedback is important to me, so please, please leave a review so women can find and be empowered by this knowledge. If you have a topic you'd like to see discussed on the show or have a recommendation for guests you'd like to see interviewed, please get in touch by emailing thehormoneheartbeatpodcast@gmail.com.